coming to you from 6 feet under Toledo, Ohio. This is the 222 Paranormal Podcast.
You scared me.
With your host,
Jen and Joe. Jen and Joe. So, Joe.
What?
We're 6 feet underground.
Yes, we are.
We're in the crypt.
In the crypt.
We're in the Toledo Vampire Crypt.
Yes. And about an hour ago, I was in the basement of a haunted school.
Yes.
I was in the attic, too. I did a Facebook Live video, so if anybody kind of figures out when we're recording this and they watch the video, they can figure out exactly when this is.
Only the stalkers, Joe. Yeah. They will triangulate your time and space.
Yeah.
But Joe and I were down in Bowling Green, Ohio, which is about 20 miles south of Toledo. Mm-hmm. And there is a school there from the 1860s, and you probably heard us talk about it on other shows. It's a haunted South Main school. It's on Main Street, and it's run by Don and Kelly from Fringe Paranormal. They do ghost hunts there, private investigations. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, super interesting place to investigate.
So cool. We've had some activity there. I mean, you had some today when we were there.
Yeah, I had like a white light go in front of me, and I had to think twice because I had taken my glasses off. I thought it was a reflection on my glasses, and I was like, I don't have my glasses on.
Yeah.
And then I had like a mist. There was a mist standing in the doorway. It was like white. It almost looked like, you know, when sun rays come down and you like have smoke in the sun rays. It looked like that, but there was no sun rays.
Yeah, the sun's on the other side of the building.
It was very interesting, but very cool.
Really cool. And it was kind of weird being there in the daytime.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Because we investigated late in the nighttime.
Spooky vibe. So, if you guys, you know, are looking for a place to investigate, it's really, really interesting place. Very cool. There's tons of space. So you could take a team of like, you know, 10 or 15 people. And
yeah, there's enough space in between where you can.
Different levels. Mm-hmm. And just go to Fringe Paranormal on Facebook and you can find the link there.
Yeah, it's super cool. And stay tuned at the end of the show. We're going to have an announcement,
everybody. It's so exciting. So, definitely listen through to the end.
But on today's show, we had a chance to sit down with Steve Ward a few weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh. We were very, very excited to talk to Steve. Steve, interesting character. He, does speeches. He's written many, many books. And what he is, you know, his main focus is Mothman.
Yeah.
And we were able to talk to him about, you know, being in Point Pleasant. Is it Point Pleasant?
Yeah, Point Pleasant.
Mm-hmm. West Virginia, where the Mothmans have been sighted.
Yeah.
And what else does he do there?
He's a tour guide. Yeah, he gives tours and he actually talks about the Mothman and gives a history of it and stuff. So if you're down there for the Mothman Festival this year, I believe it's in September.
Yeah, I think so.
Look him up. He is awesome. He is a really good guy. And, you know, and if you don't know what a Mothman is, you know, it's been described in many different ways of having no head. Like it was just like an owl where the head is all incorporated in the body to everything to like a bat person, you know. But it's like the harbinger of doom. Whenever Mothman shows up, it seems that there's something going to happen. And in Point Pleasant, they kept getting these Mothman sightings, and the bridge collapsed.
That's right. In the 60s, was that?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1966, November 12th, 1966, I believe it was.
Spooky.
But around that date. And there's actually pictures of the Mothman sitting on the bridge.
I have to see that.
Before it collapsed.
I think I have seen that. But, you know, Joe and I, you know, we've talked about Mothman on other shows and different areas around the United States that these type of cryptids have been seen, you know, things that are winged and flying and you know, like the one over Chicago recently.
There's been a lot of sightings in Chicago.
Yeah, last couple of years, they really had an uptick in sightings. Thunderbirds out in the west as well.
I was going to say, I don't remember if we mentioned that during the interview about the Chicago sightings. I don't know if we did. I do know that the funny part about the interview is if you notice at the end, we're talking normal and then all of a sudden we start talking a little faster and faster because they were kicking us out of the building.
Joe and I have done many, many conventions and you guys have probably come out and seen us at some of them. this one, it ended and they wanted us out. And we had to like literally throw our stuff in boxes to get out.
We were doing the interview and, you know, Steve spoke at that one and, you know, and he's kind of part of it, you know, and, and they were like, we gotta go. We gotta go. They have an event coming up after our stuff. So I think we packed up in record time.
Yeah, we did. We got the heck out of there. But anyways, you know, just an interesting, you know, take on the Mothman. I think he touches on Bigfoot a little bit too. Mm-hmm.
His main thing is Mothman though.
Yeah, just, you know, those cryptids. It's really, I think there's kind of been a little bit of a shift though. You know, people are like really into ghosts. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden this whole cryptids, I think are kind of like becoming the popular topic right now is because there's been so many sightings of different types of cryptids in the
United States. They just had a Bigfoot sighting in Ohio.
Yeah. Where was it, at the Salt Fork?
I think it was right around there.
Yeah. I saw a drone video. Did you see the drone video? That was kind of interesting. Because I don't know. We'll have to post that on our page.
I remember when we first started the show, I was like, we were talking about doing Bigfoot shows. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do Bigfoot shows until I see evidence. I want, show me the money, you know, give me some real evidence. But there's actually is a lot of evidence out there.
Yeah.
Since we've been going to the shows and we just did the Bigfoot convention, you know, and since we've been going to these, there is a lot of evidence out there. Just so many people don't see it because it's either on YouTube and people don't believe it or they don't come out to the conventions and actually talk to the people.
Yeah, the interesting thing is when you go to a convention, the experts in that field, and I use that term loosely because I don't think
I am.
Everybody is a complete expert, but you know, people who are been in it for many, many years, not just like fly by the night, like all of a sudden I have a group and I'm an expert.
Yeah.
No, these are people who have done the research. They're so interesting and down to earth to talk to. Scientists. These are, you know, these are like legit scientists, zoologists, botanists, you know, different areas of study and science. And they are, you know, convinced that there's something out there.
When we did the Bigfoot convention, I was surprised at, you know, I've never been there. And I was expecting to see like a person walk around in a suit, all that, you know, kind of, but they were serious about this stuff. I mean.
Yes, because that's what, you know, when I first went a couple of years ago, I think it was 3 years ago, my sister and I, we took my mom and dad and we all went down and we just thought it'd be fun people watching and be unique and different. And, you know, we just, but these people, it's very, you know, a serious topic to them. And it's great because, you know, in order to be taken seriously, you have to be serious
exactly.
about something.
Exactly. And, you know, like we say, get to the conventions. You can actually talk to the people that are into this, like Steve. So let's play the interview and we'll be back.
And don't forget, we have an announcement.
Yeah, stay tuned for the end. You have to stay to the end of the class.
Stay with us.
All right. On today's show, we have a special guest. We have Steve Ward with us.
So Steve is an experienced UFOologist. I love to use that word. And Mothman expert. Growing up in Detroit area in the March 1966 UFO flap that occurred virtually in his backyard. Have I got that right?
Yes, that's right.
And since 2002, he's been involved with the Mothman Festival, both behind the scenes and as a tour guide in the dreaded TNT area where the Mothman was originally sighted. He spoke at the 2017 Mothman Festival on the subject of high strangeness. I'm having a high strangeness moment right now. But welcome, Steve. We're really glad that you're here with us.
Well, it's great to be here on your maiden voyage to the Butler Paranormal Weekend, right?
Yes.
It is. First time.
This is a great event. We're definitely going to come back.
Yeah,
it's a good time. Dan Hagelin's done a great job. He's got a great team of people here to support him. He keeps the prices down, and they always have a great variety of speakers. I've been here several times as, you know, just an attendee, never dreaming that they would actually ask me to speak. So it's really nice.
Yeah, and Joe and I, fortunately, you know, the vendors were in with the speakers, so we were actually able to hear the speakers today, and you did a great job. You presented a lot of information. It was good, detailed information. A lot of times, you know, you get people that are just kind of glaze over things, but you had you know, your presentation covered a detailed amount of different places that you've been and things that you've investigated. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that?
Well, my area of interest, I was heavily influenced by John Keel, the author of the Mothman Prophecies, early on. His book, UFOs, Operation Trojan Horse, which actually came out before Mothman, was a major influence on me. I was a guy who was very happy with stories of aliens landing and, you know, these close encounters of the third kind where people actually, Coral and Jim Lorenzen of APRO, you know, the Aerial Phenomena Research Organization of the, 50s and 60s, they're the ones that actually started chronicling these landings, you know. People like NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, headed by Donald E. Keyhoe at the time, they're a little more conservative. They were into UFOs but didn't want to talk about the pilots so much. Oh. So these started to come out. But I was very happy with the idea of aliens investigating the Earth and these sightings. But then Keel comes along, and he actually considered himself a Fortean via Charles Fort. Okay. He didn't want to be called a ufologist. He got mad when people called him that. Because Charles Fort, you know, of course, wrote those fabulous books, starting with the Damned. What was it? I'm going to forget the name of it.
Oh.
The one about the Damned, and then there's the Low. And, you know, he chronicled Charles Fort was early 1900s. Why can't I remember that title?
I don't know.
Because it's been a long
day.
Yes, okay. But it's you know, I'm having a senior moment. But he would go through these scientific journals and chronicle all these oddities, falls of fish from the sky, chunks of ice, strange floating lights way before we chronicled UFOs. And he delighted in pointing out that, you know, when he would gather all these together, you had a whole body of strange information. Anyway, that's who influenced Keel. Keel, in Trojan Horse, brings all these things together. UFOs, cryptids, poltergeist phenomena, animal mutilations. So my area of interest is high strangeness areas.
Okay.
People call them portals, vortexes. Keel called them window areas. And also, I make a lot of connections. I look for patterns, things from past and present and things in the present that seem to connect together.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about portals and vortexes, are there any locally here or where you live? Michigan, Ohio area where we're at?
Yes, well, and also in Pennsylvania, there's the Chestnut Ridge. You know, the Small Town Monsters people just did a great DVD on the invasion of Chestnut Ridge. And that's the area that actually Stan Gordon, who was also here, Stan Gordon, a great researcher from Pennsylvania, in his book Silent Invasion, chronicles the bizarre incidents, one of these hot spots, 73, 74, in southwestern Pennsylvania, you know, UFO reports, bizarre Bigfoot reports. And by bizarre, I mean people would see these things. One woman heard some commotion on her front porch. She went out. And here's this thing she called a gorilla.
Okay.
She shoots it point blank with her shotgun, and it disappears in a hail of sparks.
Oh,
oh my!
I've never heard that before.
Almost like a counterfeit Bigfoot. It's, you know, it's very, very strange when you go down this road. So, Trojan Horse by Keel set me on a whole different course. And then, to add insult to injury, I just recovered from that. Another researcher, Jacques Vallée, French computer scientist, emigrates from France in the 60s, becomes a colleague of the famous Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was a debunker for the Air Force for a while, saw there was something to it, started the Center for UFO Studies in Evanston, Illinois, and Hynek is the guy that gave us the close encounter categories. And we were just talking about close encounters of the third kind, where you see some kind of an entity. So they were colleagues, but Vallée made the connection between folklore, Celtic folklore, and other traditions, and some modern-day UFO experiences. Missing time is not a recent phenomena.
Yeah.
Missing time was experienced by people that encountered the fairies, or the little people, or the gentry. They were whisked away to the underground kingdom of the fairies, not so much in a spaceship on a slab for an unscheduled medical exam with no deductible and no copay.
Yeah.
But they still had these detailed experiences and had the missing time connection. They would be taken from their bedrooms, floated through walls. They would encounter the entity sometime and be paralyzed. You can find other connections where, of course, we have crop circles now, which is very controversial and you know, who makes them? People, the military, aliens. And as I said in my talk, I'm kind of an old curmudgeon. I hearken for the good old days when we had something called saucer nests in the 1960s. Yeah. You can wrap your head around that. The craft lands, leaves a circular depression, and that's that. Well, it's not that, though, because if you go back far enough, the same thing was seen to be made by the fairies. They called them fairy circles or fairy rings or elf dans in Sweden.
Oh,
And Swedish elves, guess what they looked like?
What?
They had large heads, long arms, and short legs. I don't know if they had a gray pallor or not.
Yeah.
But I think, Steve, you're describing me.
Oh, she has that dead-like stare, those black eyes, right? Yeah.
In your research, what has surprised you the most? Like, what was, like, the, you know, shocking moment of you? One of them.
Okay, or, one of them.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be the one, but what really surprised you?
I think there's so many. Okay. I think we talked about this before when you interviewed me at the Paracon, Michigan Paracon. Vehicle stoppages, you know, that's common, right, in the UFO phenomena. A close proximity of craft, we assume the propulsion system somehow interacts with the combustion engine and stalls it. But then in my talk, I gave examples of how ghost armies that appear stop cars. Cryptids, there have been a few cases, weird cases, where a Bigfoot shows up and the car will stall. Now, the thing you wonder with it, you start hypothesizing, right? Yeah. What would cause a cryptid to enable a car to stall? Well, people talk about, some people say Bigfoot's interdimensional. Yeah. Well, maybe he's phasing in and out and that causes something. Mm-hmm. Other people say, no, it's a real animal, but they have some very unique abilities. We heard of infrasound, right? Where it kind of broadcasts this, I don't even know what how to describe it, almost like a mental attack. Okay. Some people say, well, they have these unique cloaking abilities, even though they're normal flesh and blood animals. So it's hard to wrap your head around. But nevertheless, in a few of these cases, and just a few, it seems that a cryptid will actually stop a car. And I gave the weird example. Again, I love the connection between the fairies and modern-day UFO experiences. Yeah. We have the incident in Limerick in the late 1800s. Where the cart is being, it's the combustion engine is not a combustion engine, it's a non-combustion engine called a horse, right?
But and they still have exhausts.
they sure do. So they're going along and they stop dead. The passenger sees the driver is in kind of a stupor. He's got a look of terror on his face. He doesn't know what's going on. But he can also see these little shadowy forms ascending on the buggy. So he grabs the reins. They take off, it breaks the stupor, the trance, and they're off. So he asked the driver, he said, well, what did you see? Well, from his viewpoint, he saw that they had come upon a troop of dancing fairies.
Oh.
And supposedly that's bad. They don't like to see people to come up on them. And so they were angry. They ascended to his mind, to his viewpoint, up on the cart and were trying to pull him off. This poor guy is terrified that the fairies are going to spirit him away. So they were both were having the same experience. They saw different things. What's really interesting, if you look at the beginning of the Betty and Barney Hill incident, early 1961, the couple, they were coming back from Canada to Portsmouth, and it was a classic abduction covered in the mainstream media, very credible people. Their car stalls. They're taken out of the car by these relatively short beings. They don't have exactly the same experience. A little bit different, very similar in many respects. Barney is unconscious most of the time or in a stupor. Betty is alive and well and given the aliens hell. Okay? So, very interesting. You find it's almost like possibly the same thing is going on. Back to John Keel. Keel was not very interested in the appearance of these things. He thought there was a, in quotes, cosmic mechanism behind these things. You know, manifesting in different ways. And that's when he used the word that I love, transmogrification. Uh-huh. Not hallucinations, but something really was manifesting. He used the term as a literary device, ultra-terrestrial, because he believed that what was going on was a natural condition of the planet. Well, I think there's something to that, but that doesn't explain everything. You know, there's nothing that I have come across that has a nice blanket, you know, a catch-all paranormal explanation.
Do you feel that, I know we talk about Mothman, do you feel that Mothman is either a physical being or interdimensional?
Well, when you, I've talked to about six of the original witnesses.
Okay.
When you look at the reports, there were about 100, a little over 100 original reports that Keel collected back in 66, 67. Generally the same thing, about 7 feet tall, about a 10, 12 foot wingspan, kind of grayish or dark in color, brilliant red glowing eyes as if it's generating its own light and not a reflection. People would see it take off straight up like a helicopter and not flap its wings. There were so many things about it where it did not act like a biological being. The wingspan probably isn't long, big enough, wide enough to carry a body that size.
Okay.
There's so many things that it was almost more like an apparition or something like that, or hologram even. But it seemed to be physical, you know, maybe temporal. I you know, it's very, very hard to pin down. It's easier for me to tell you what it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't some mutation from the TNT area where they had all that pollution for a while. Mutations don't morph in a perfect hybrid way where you're going to have a human-like, you know, that's more like a Roger Corman film. That's just not going to work. There were a lot of UFOs seen at the time, but it still doesn't really fit as some people think it was dropped off by the aliens, but then why did it still seem to not have any regard for physical laws, you know? So I don't know what Mothman was.
Did they report hearing any sounds from it?
Yes.
Okay.
They heard a kind of a squeaky wheel kind of a noise sometimes. Oh. Now, John and Tim Frick, who play the Men in Black here on the weekend and who fly the Mothman at the Mothman Festival every September, they have an awesome sound effect, which is much better than the regular Mothman made. But now, if you dig into this stuff, there were some lectures given by John Keel that are on audio tape. And one of them, he talks about how some of the people that saw this thing close up heard what they thought was something like an engine or a motor, which throws another wrench in it. What is this, I don't know what to think. Something constructed, but still, how would it fly?
And you know? It would have to have some kind of propulsion engine.
Right.
But the UFOs that we see also, they kind of do the same thing where they break the laws of physics. So who knows? It could be the same type of technology to where it doesn't need an actual propulsion device.
It may be. But then what was its purpose?
Yeah.
By the way, Charles Fort's book was The Book of the Damned. If I went home and didn't remember that, the most common book in any Fortean library, I would have to hang up my credentials. No. You know.
And... I know you've seen, but the recent sightings in Chicago.
Yes.
That was very interesting because there were so many people that actually saw this in different locations, but
right.
all along the coastline. And I was thinking, okay, what's going to happen? Because
of it being a harbinger, you mean. That's a really good question. People, you know, will ask you sometimes, well, are you qualified to be a paranormal investigator? And I say, John Keel had a plaque that said, John Keel, not an expert on anything. Well, that's kind of like me. But then I would say, okay, some people think UFOs are literally demonic. They're a deception. Others say, oh, no, E.T. Well, let's take the Mothman. There's a lady, Patricia Smith, I believe. She gave a presentation. She and her husband were ministers. They had a kind of a bedroom apparition of the Mothman at the time. They believe it's evil. Andy Colvin, another researcher, believes that the Mothman is a positive influence, sort of a protector akin to the Garuda from Hindu mythology. Others say, just been hidden in West Virginia forever. Some people say E.T. because of all the UFOs at the time. There's all kinds of, you know, so what do we need to be an expert in?
Yeah.
A folklorist, a biologist, an exobiologist, a cryptozoologist, or maybe a BS artist would be the place to start.
Yeah. And, you know, anybody can call themselves a something-ologist. But, you know, unless you're out doing field research, and have put the years and the time and the effort into it. You know, anybody could come up and say, you know, like I could say, I'm a podcastologist. That's just a title.
Well, I don't claim to be an expert. I'm a person that has a fascination with this. And I guess my strong point or my area of interest are connections. So.
Okay. Steve, tell everybody about the book. You have a book here, Weird Winged Wonders, which you co-written a chapter in.
It's edited by Tim Beckley. Okay. I have a chapter in there, which is all about the Mothman and the Mothman Festival. I'm in great company with Brad Steiger and Paul Eno and Scott Corrales. They cover everything, every winged creature you can imagine, the Van Meter visitor, the Chicago sightings, you name it. It's in this book, and you should buy it, even though I only have a chapter in it.
Yes, everybody go out and get Steve's book. Steve, we're being cut out here, so I just want to thank you very much for coming and talking to us. And we'll definitely talk to you again at another show, and we'll learn more about it. But everybody go, and where can they get a hold of you if they want to check out your
Steve
your
Ward
stuff?
On the most handsome one on Facebook.
Hey, I saw all your picture.
with the most charm and charisma, so that's me.
Yeah, Steve, thank you very much.
Thanks for stopping by, and it was great hanging out with you all day.
Right, it was nice to see you guys again. So we'll do it again. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Well, another great interview. It was so much fun. And then the guy leaning at me, obviously you can't hear it, but guy leaning over to me going, we got to go.
I know. It's so hard because when you interview somebody who's so passionate about, you know, the topic that they've written books on and gone out in the field and done the research on, they just have a million stories and you could listen to them all day.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely have to have Steve back on because he's got a lot more information that he just weren't able to get, but
yeah,
he is such an interesting, I mean, his speech was excellent. Yeah. You know, like everybody in the audience was like on the edge of their seat, just listening to him.
And it was good because, you know, I know he's a Mothman person, but he incorporated Bigfoot and even creatures that look like Bigfoot that are bone skinny. He mentioned about those.
That was weird.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it though. Yeah. There's a lot of things I want to see.
So I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. We definitely love sitting down with him every time we meet him. And I know he's going to a few more conventions than we're going to be at. So he'll be hanging out in the booth.
Yeah, Steve, we'll be looking out for you.
Yeah. So we have an announcement. And this is kind of cool. The reason we went to the South Main School this morning or earlier is they're having a fundraiser.
Yes.
And the school needs a lot of work, and they're working on it. And, you know, like we said, it doesn't have electricity or plumbing. You know, it's all there, but they're having hassles getting it turned on.
Yeah.
And it all costs money,
mm-hmm.
which it's kind of neat, though, like we said, because it doesn't have electricity. It's a haunted location with no electricity, so you're not going to get the false readings from the wires in the walls and that, but you need some electricity, you know.
Definitely.
But they're going to have an open house, a fundraiser.
Yes, this is so exciting. So on July 22nd of this year, there's going to be an open house fundraiser, and Joe and I are going to be there.
Yeah.
And the Fringe Paranormal is hosting us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd love it if you guys could come out. It'll be during the day. And what's the hours of that, Joe?
It is from 12 to 4.
So 12 to 4 on Sunday, July 22nd. The address is 437 South Main in Bowling Green, Ohio. Everybody is welcome to come and just...
It's free to get in, but they really ask for donations.
Yeah, they're asking for a $5 donation.
$5, but if you can throw in their $10 or $1,000 or...
Yeah, whatever. But, you know, come out. You can walk all around the school. You can go in the creepy basement.
That is cool.
I'll show you guys where I saw the shadow. I'll show you where I got a light orb. And Joe and I got tons of activity on the REM pod. But it's really, really cool place. We'd love if you guys could come out and just, you know, come and look around.
You know,
and then book a ghost hunt.
Yeah, book a ghost hunt. Check the place out. Meet. And I know there's going to be a lot of paranormal people there that you can talk to. Me and Jen's going to be there so you can come out and tell us your stories and that. And it's just going to be a fun day.
Yeah, Yeah, definitely. You know, it's during the day, but, you know, if you want to bring a piece of equipment and try to get something.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you can go in the attic.
I was there this morning.
Yeah, Joe was up in the attic. You know, in the boiler room.
That's where they keep the bodies.
Oh, no, it's scary. We did see a dead bird. But, you know, like, if you want to come out and learn about paranormal, if you know, if you're new to it, you're definitely welcome to come out. You know, if you're coming by yourself, it's fine. You can talk to Joe.
Yeah.
Joe will give you a grand tour.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just come out and... Even if you just want to come out and support a haunted location and you know, Fringe, who is hosting ghost hunts there pretty much any weekend, you can check their calendar on their page as well.
Yeah, he said he mentioned that he put a calendar on his Facebook page, so you know when there's open dates. But they're opening it up to any investigations there. They're really interested in getting people in there and investigating because there's a lot of activity that goes on there.
Yeah, so come on out, support us, support the show, support... Mm-hmm. The Haunted South Main School.
July 22nd. That's a Sunday from 12 to 4.
And it's
437 South Main Street, Bowling Green, Ohio, 43402.
Yeah. So
look it up on GPS.
It's not very far off of I-75. So you could come up from Kentucky, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. You could come over, Michigan. We want to see everybody there.
Yeah.
Let's fill the house.
It'd be like a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Meet and greet everybody and just talk paranormal.
And we'll have, you can all bring us snacks.
Oh, okay.
Joe's a snack. If you're looking for a snack, lady, my brother Joe will be there.
Other than that, please do the same thing we always say. Share our page. If you enjoyed this interview, share the show.
And check us out on Twitter, on Facebook. And go to our website. We have some new and exciting things on our website.
Yeah. If you're interested in buying some books.
Yeah, we got links up, and it's www.222paranormal.com.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Joe.
Bye-bye.